Hey, seasoners, welcome back to another installment of the Travel and Tourism Podcast, my first season. My guest today worked for Club Med from 1993 to 1996 in such Club Med resorts as Sandpiper, Eleuthera, Paradise Island, Columbus Isle, and Sonora Bay. His first season was in Club Med Sandpiper in 1993 as a boutique geo. We never worked together, or we did, we're going to get into that later, but we did meet at the XGO Reunion 3 in Cancun in 2010. A coworker of his worked for Club Med in the 1970s and suggested he try it. He is from Michigan originally and now lives in Palm Springs. Please help me welcome the one and only Chris Dingman. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Greg?
I'm great, thanks. True or false, you binged a few episodes of my first season in preparation of this.
I did.
Who did you listen to? Who did you listen to?
Oh, gosh. I listened to Graham Maxwell, because yes. I worked with him in Sandpiper. I listened to GA, who I worked with in a couple of seasons. I also worked with Joanne from Eleuthera.
Okay.
Eric Goldberg.
Yes. Okay. Hopefully you have an appropriate Goldberg story for me.
Of course.
We'll get to that. Okay. Darn it.
Okay. And last night I listened to Howard, which was interesting.
Okay, and also Sunny, I believe too.
Oh, and Sunny, yes, of course.
You are the most prepared person that's ever been on the show, so thank you for that. Okay, I can't get people to listen to one episode, but thank you. No, I mean it. Thank you.
Okay. Of course, as you know, I am not on Facebook, so I don't, or I'm not as connected as most.
Now, people. Yes, not that that's odd, but the majority of the people I contact are on Facebook. If it's okay, do you mind telling people why you are not currently on Facebook?
Yeah, well, a few years ago, it just came down to the point where it became too much. Like, the mother was like, "You never liked my roses." And the best friend was like, "You never liked the pictures of my children." And I'm like, "Oh, well, this is no fun." So I just got off. I kept Instagram for the pretty pictures.
So if you didn't comment on Aunt Susie's roast beef, she got slightly offended. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So, no, honest answer. I thank you for that. Yes. Because, it was odd, but I'm glad that I think it's possibly, I don't remember how we got in touch again. Did you leave a comment on something?
I
reached out to you?
I don't remember how
that happened.
I did. I don't remember either. The other ones I listened to, probably on the Coltman. So Mike Coltman and Kate Coltman, because I worked with Mike. And just years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you did the seasons with them in Eleuthera, but we're going to go a little bit back in time. So before Club Med, I think you grew up in Michigan. You also went to travel school in Kissimmee, Florida. Can you explain to us what travel school is?
Yes. It was a place back in the day when people that wanted to be a travel agent or wanted to work in the travel industry, it was called Southeastern Academy. And basically it was a 2-year class maximum. I did it in like a year. And yeah, I got this travel degree, or it was technically a certificate, but it was supposed to like fast track you into the travel and tourism industry. And from there, I went on to work for Certified Tours, which was Delta's vacation center in Fort Lauderdale, always falling back into retail at the Gap. That's where I met this lovely lady named Lene Schultz. And she was blonde and beautiful, a little bit older, you know, 30. And she told me about her days working at Club Med. And she had all these incredible stories of running around in a bikini and Perio and flip-flops. And she's like, "I've never been so tan, blonde-haired, and beautiful in my whole life." And she's like, "You would be perfect for it. You're it. Like, you have to do it."
You said she was a geo in the 70s. So frankly, I'm surprised you said she was wearing a bikini, because I've seen photos of those 70s crews, you know, and it was, you know,
she only
just a Perio, right? I
mean, okay. She only showed me a picture of her in her bikini in Perio.
Okay. Good. Right. And she said, "You know what? You'd be a good fit with Club Med." And then now, how, so would this have been 92? Are we in 1992 when
Yes.
you're applying?
So this was a few years earlier. So it would have been early 90s. And then I was just at a point where I just needed a break. I wanted to get out and run away to an island. And so I contacted Lene again. And I said, how do I do this? Like, what's the procedure? And, you know, there was no internet. You just didn't, I wasn't connected. I hadn't even seen a village or been to a village or seen a brochure or anything. I saw some of her pictures, but she walked me through day in the life of Club Med Geo and then told me exactly what I needed to do. And so I sent in a pamphlet and I got a call from Linda, like within months, like very soon after.
This is Linda from Sandpiper?
Yep, Linda from Sandpiper.
All right, so you had a phone interview. Did you ever have an in-person interview?
So in my little packet, one of the things Lene stressed was that I do something to stand out and do something very funny in one of the pictures that I sent. So I sent in this picture of me when I was preparing for a friend's party and I was blowing up balloons and I stuck two of the balloons in my top and made a superhero pose. And so that is a picture I sent in, and I look like, you know, Dolly Parton on steroids. And Linda, for years, told me she kept that picture treasured on her desk and would look at it and laugh every day. So that is, I'm pretty sure, why I got the call.
So Dolly Parton got you the job.
Something like that. And Linda, if you're listening, I haven't talked to you in years, but I wouldn't mind that picture back.
Well, yeah, please make a copy or something for him. Come
on, yes,
now,
exactly.
Now we're dying to see this photo now.
I know, right? I didn't send it to you. And so the second part of your question, did I have an interview? So the phone interview was very fast. It was like 30 minutes tops. And can you be here tomorrow? And I'm like, great. And I didn't hear the can you be here tomorrow part. I just said, I heard the can you leave tomorrow? And I said, well, I need a few days to like pack and, you know, tell my current employer that I'm leaving. And I said, what about this weekend? She's great. And so in my head, I thought, oh my gosh, I have this. I'm going to the Caribbean. I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to Tahiti. And I'm like, oh, Linda, so where am I going? She said, oh, you're coming here to Sandpiper Club Med Port St. Lucie, Florida. You know, we laugh now, but you know, that's where we are.
So you went to travel school in Florida and then left found your way back in the full circle moment.
To Florida. Okay. It was fantastic.
You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave, right?
Like yes, song. Exactly.
All right. And now, what do you remember about arriving? Do you remember the first day? Do you remember who the
Absolutely.
First CEO you saw? Oh, tell me. Yes. Tell me about it.
Yes and yes. So in my head, you know, I saw these pictures from Linda back in the day in her patio on the beach. And so I arrive and it's very quiet. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, quiet. And I saw somebody in khaki shorts and a polo. And I'm like, well, this is very different from the pictures that I'd seen. And I realized I'm on a golf course. And the first person I saw was this very tall, very good looking blonde gentleman. And his name was Kevin Batt.
Okay.
So Kevin greeted me. And I told him I was here and I was a new boutique geo. And so he took me, luggage and all, to see the chief of boutique, Renee. And this is, you know, it's four o'clock. So it was definitely cocktail time for Renee. And so Renee and I put my bags down and we head to the bar and we have a drink. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to love this. Right. So the second person I meet, she and third person after Renee, second person was Renee. Third person she introduces me to is Dominique, who is the choreographer at that time in Sandpiper. I don't know if you ever worked with her or had anybody have any stories about Dominique, but very petite woman, like 5 foot plus, very French, heavy French accent. And she clocks me right away. You can dance. And I didn't know if she was asking me a question or telling me. And I just said, yes. I said, of course I can dance. You will be in the show tomorrow night. You come to rehearsal tonight. Wait, what? Like, okay, great. So that was my first few hours in Club Med Sandpiper.
Now, could you dance?
Could I professionally dance? Well, no. Did I have training to dance? No, did I tell them that in the interview that I could dance? Yes, of course, I can dance. I'm a very good
did you
dancer.
know what an eight count was before
Yes, I did know what an eight count
okay
was.
okay so
Was
you're miles ahead of me then. Okay.
I a good organized dancer and learning routines and partner dancer? No, I was horrible at it.
Were you good at rehearsing? Were you good at rehearsing at midnight too?
I
Okay. Okay.
God, that is
Or was it in the afternoon back? Okay.
it was no, it was always in the evening, of course. It was after midnight, and by that point I was ready to go. No, I was fine with it. Yeah, I loved it. I was all in for it.
You said Kevin Batt, so but Patrick Calvé was the chief of village. So was Kevin Batt the chief of sports there?
Patrick Cave was the chief of village. Kevin must have, yes, he must have been, yes, at that point he was the chief of sports.
Okay.
Yes.
So what else can you tell me? You have some stories, like you supplied me a list of some stories. You didn't have any culture shock because the
You
guests
know,
were mostly North American, maybe some French. Is that right?
no. So oddly enough, that's what really surprised me is that we were in Florida, but it was heading into, it must have been spring, and it was packed. It was all Europeans. It was all French and German. You know, from their standpoint, it looks like it's a thumbprint away from Walt Disney World. So we hardly ever saw Americans, occasionally New Yorkers, but it was like that. I just remember that season being very French and German influenced GMs. And I just was like a sponge. I didn't speak, I speak absolutely no French, a little, maybe a word or two of Spanish, but I was a sponge with languages. So it was fantastic. One of the things I was thinking last night about this, what did shock me was how emotionally attached the first few weeks I would get to the GMs, and then they
Okay.
would leave.
Okay. So you were the one crying the first season, Joe, crying at departure then, right?
Yeah, so I
Okay.
wasn't.
That's so
No,
sweet.
I well, no, I was somewhat, and still I'm emotionally sterile, so I wasn't quite that. I wasn't quite that in that way, but it was really something you had to learn, and I don't think a lot of people really talk about, because you have 600 people coming through that you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner with, and you get very close to, and then they leave. And I
Yes.
keep, and I would keep in touch with a few of them that I like and I still do. But then another 600 come through, and the same thing over and over. So you do become like a little emotionally sterile, and you get have to like compartmentalize that and realize that these people aren't going to be in your life forever, but they're there for a week and they're there for a good time. So I was always up for that.
But did you ever get sad, like nearing the end of your first season, if a GO you like left, or you, we know you're sad when GMs left. Did you ever get sad when the GO you liked left?
Absolutely. And it wasn't even, as you know, it didn't always happen at the end of the season. Sometimes you would wake up and somebody would be gone for whatever reason. Some of them we can't talk about, but they would be gone. And yeah, that happened quite a few times in my Club Med career.
And you were. At this point, you were smoking, right? Because I think
Yes.
you have a
Okay.
story about how someone
Oh my gosh.
encouraged you to stop smoking. Is that the right word?
Okay, so back to Dominica, the French choreographer. So that first show she puts me in was like a dance twister 50s number, and I had a partner, and there was a lift in it, and the lift didn't go so well. That first show, that first, I was only one number, but that first number, I dropped a girl like on her, not quite on her face, but it was a lift forward, and she fell forward.
Okay.
And I blame it on the shoes that I didn't practice in the proper, like the correct dance shoes. But yeah, so that was pretty terrifying. And she's like, "Nope, you will be in this number. I will just
Okay.
give you
Okay.
in."
I'm sorry. Excuse me, Chris.
Yes.
You say you blamed it on the shoes and not because you were smoking how many packs of cigarettes a day? Is that
Who am I not going to blame it on is the girl that I
okay.
was lifting, which I don't remember her name, and she's not listening. Yep.
Okay.
She was a one season GO, and she. How do I put this in a nice way? She was larger than I was, right? So
Okay. Okay.
from that point on, I end up being front and center stage because she gave me a really petite French girl named Val, who was like a fantastic dancer. So Val was always my partner from that time on, and I was always front and center. So I never dropped Val after that. Or after
okay,
that,
and you got better shoes from here.
And
on
I
out.
Got better shoes.
Okay.
back to yes, of course I was smoking because I wanted. I love Club Med, and I love this culture. By that point, and with 2 days in, I was in love with it, and I wanted to be French, and so I would do anything to. I would do anything that the French were up to and doing. So that included smoking and drinking Ricard.
And espresso in the morning, I guess?
An espresso in the morning.
Okay.
But yes. So Val and I, oh my gosh. So we would be up there doing the 10-minute can-can, and we were both smokers. And we learned to smile and talk at the same time as we were doing the can-can. And it went something like this. And she would do it in English, and I would do it in English. I have to quit smoking right now.
Okay, so were you...
Front and center.
Okay, were you doing the techno can-can or the regular can-can?
The regular can-can.
Okay. Oh, just regular, you were winded.
The
okay.
regular can-can.
Okay. Okay. And that solidified it. You stopped cold turkey?
No. Okay. Smoked on and off my entire career.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you made an effort, right?
I did. But I just remember being up there laughing hysterically and smiling and kicking it, you know, like for 10 minutes. I am going to quit smoking. Dying.
And then getting dirty looks from the choreographer, no doubt.
Yes, of course.
Okay. God bless him. Okay.
Right.
Woo! What else? What else about that? I mean, you do have a funny season about story about your dream sheet, which if people who don't know, back in the day, Club Med would ask you where you'd want to go. Usually you didn't get your first choice. You'd get your
of course choice. Not. So,
so, I'm gonna so circle. What do you what kind of story do you have about that?
So, like I said, I had the phone interview and I thought, well, this is really weird. I've been working a week and I'm like in a show and like totally immersed in the culture. And I get a call and Renee's like, Linda wants to see you. I'm like, Linda, like who hired me? She's like, oh yeah, she sits right over here. Like just on that. So I'm like fully dressed in boutique gear, head to toe, Club Med. And I walk in and it's a full on proper interview. There are like five other people in there and they all look at me like, you know, because at this point I'm tan and I'm in all Club Med gear, head to toe and flip flops. And they look at me and they're like I'm an alien because I've been working there a week with the four of them, like stepped off the street and we held this like open interview all together. It was hysterical. And afterwards I thought, oh my gosh, did I actually get this? Am I staying? But of course, yes, I was staying. Yeah. So I did have a proper interview. And then going back to your question, the dream sheet. So after that season, you know, they were all there, Linda, and they would come over for drinks at the end of the day. And so I was pretty close to them. She's like, you're fantastic. Well, not fantastic. I wasn't fantastic at that point. I was good. Wherever you want to go, where do you want to go? Of course, I said, Maria. I said, Tahiti, send me. She looked at me and she's like, honey, she's like, you will hate it. She said, you will hate the chef de village there. Number one, I won't say who it was at that point. I said, perfect. I said, number two, Bora Bora. And she looked at me again. And she's like, you will like bicycle around the island once. Number three, Club Med 2. How good is your French, Chris? Like, and that like solidified it. I wasn't getting any of my top three. And she said, I have the perfect person for you for the next season. I have the perfect Club Med chef de village. She's putting together a brilliant team and you really need to be a part of it. She said, I was his choreographer back in the day and you're going to love him. His name, he's English. He's a little crazy, but he's a family guy married with kids. You're going to love him. Mike Coleman. So took a little break and off to Eleuthera I go.
1994.
It was 94. And so we had like a week before the village opened. And I remember, so amazing. I mean, that island is still really special to me. Flying in, and just thinking this is what it's all about. I mean, this, you know, Club Med was or Sandpiper was fantastic, but Luther was really, really special. You know, being able to work with Mike and Jeanette and seeing their family unit and seeing young Kate and young Christian grow up. I remember looking at them and thinking they have no idea what their life is. You know what I mean? Like they didn't know how good they had it. Not good, but they didn't realize how special their time there was. And I would look at it and I would like get really emotional and think, oh my gosh, they are just, this whole family unit is fantastic. I mean, Mike and Jeanette became like my family and still are. I'm really close to Mike and sadly I miss Jeanette, but I haven't talked to Kate in a while. So it was fun to hear you talk to her a while back. But yeah, it was a really, really amazing time arriving. And their nanny at that point was Anita. Her name was Anita. And she really wanted to be like a full-fledged like Geo. She was always around, but she wanted to be like a real proper Geo. So she joined us in the boutique. And oh my gosh, she was a riot. We are still really close to this day. I went to her wedding, you know, 20 years ago, and I've seen her kids grow up, and we just had the best time. And yeah, that was an amazing experience.
Dying to hear this Madonna story. Got me.
Oh my gosh. So Madonna. So that season, the season that Mike put together in 94 in Eleuthera was like the dream team. I mean, everybody was very, very professional looking, if you know what I mean. Everybody was beautiful. Like if they weren't beautiful, like physically, they were beautiful on the inside. Fantastic, beautiful, probably the best Geo team that first season. Our chief of boutique, her name was Masha Spohr. She was dating Chief of Sports, Philippe Fournier. You know Philippe. And so Masha and Philippe were together. Masha brought in this number that she had done previous seasons, Madonna, you know, full on makeup, everything. Rescue Me, which is probably one of Madonna's, you know, biggest hits. She doesn't even perform it anymore.
But there's so many other great Madonna songs.
All right. Right? Don't get me going. So,
okay. All right. Okay.
So Masha goes on vacation or gets ready to go on vacation. Mike comes prancing into the boutique. Christabel, darling, Masha's going on vacation. So you will be the new Madonna.
What?
Yes, exactly. By this point, you know, I'm used to it. I was in high heels and drag.
Were you thinking, could I do it? Or yeah, I'm going to do it.
No, I knew I was stuck with it forever. I knew.
I'm being typecast.
But no, even when Masha came back, she didn't get the Madonna roll back.
What? Okay.
No. Oh, but it gets better. So the first time we do it, I actually sent you this picture because it's very funny. The costume had full fringe in the front. And when I started the number, the fringe covered all the private male parts, right? So by the time this picture was taken, the fringe had worked its way up, which I didn't realize. Okay. And of course, I didn't know how to deal with those parts at that time. So right after the number, Mike Coltman comes backstage. Christabel, darling, we need to talk. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Sugar.
Okay. Sugar, no sugar. He's like, you need to learn how to talk. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, we could see everything. And somebody said, I didn't take this picture, the one I sent you. Somebody had taken it, and you can see from the picture that yeah, it was
my
a little.
God. Okay, no, I just realized what you said. We could see you talk is code for something else, right?
What?
Is that what he meant? We could see you talk is like
talk,
backstage code
like
for tease,
like talky to talk.
Oh, sorry, talk. Okay, I thought you said
it's
talk.
Probably
okay.
That's probably my bad Midwest.
Talk. No. I get it. All right, and okay. And Madonna, so, yeah. And Madonna, I think that she does not have these parts, correct?
So she does not have those parts.
Portray so. Madonna, and yeah, that gets in the way, I guess.
So we always had to make sure that there is a little bit of duct tape.
Okay. Ouch.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
and you retained the role of Madonna till the end of the season.
I did. And then the season was ending, you know, fabulous, incredible first season with Mike.
Well, you mentioned you have, I have a note here about his dress codes. What was so outlandish about his dress codes?
Oh gosh, Mikey, Mike. You know, it wasn't just like red, white, and blue night or all white or crazy tie. It was full on Halloween almost every other night.
Okay. So dress code Halloween and the new season shows are like, what does that mean?
Right.
Halloween.
I sent you a few pictures and there is
Okay.
one of me, you know, it would be like,
okay, so this wasn't from a show. This was from like a Wednesday night is what you said.
Oh, it was
Okay.
just like a random whatever night. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It was like bad guy, bad girl night, or like
okay.
anyone from the movies, or, you know, it was always like the craziest thing. I wish I would have kept some of those programs back in the day.
It kind of sounds like a lot of fun, though, you know, because of the standard white and red, blue and white, you know.
It was very, very fun for the first few weeks, but it did ruin Halloween for me.
Yeah, because creatively, I'm sure you're running out of ideas at one point, right? Oh my God! Okay, I'm pillowcase guy tonight. I don't know what else to do.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But I did, so I ended up staying two seasons with Mike. I did the full year there with him, 94 and 95.
And you met a celebrity.
Oh my
Okay.
gosh,
The
yes.
First celebrity encounter. You
I
met
can't believe no,
Chris
nobody.
Chris Burke, who played Corky Thatcher on Life Goes On. If
Yes,
any of
has
you remember
nobody
that.
ever talked about this?
I think maybe one person did. I just can't remember who.
You've probably heard this story before. So he was this very, very funny. He loved the women.
Yes.
The women loved him. And at the GM show, the one show that I was not in, I was walking by one night and I wasn't really paying attention. I'm like, oh, there's Corky and he's going to sing. He sings Patsy Cline's Crazy. So if you can imagine Corky from Life Goes On singing Patsy Cline's Crazy. I mean, he had.
That's a tough one, right? I mean,
it is, but
even an everyday singer probably would
an
have
everyday
that
singer, but
classic.
to hear him with that iconic voice singing crazy, the crowd lost it. I mean, it was the
Okay.
funniest thing ever. It was
that's,
really
that's brave of him because, you know, as you know, like on that show, he was with probably one of the best singers ever, Patti LuPone. So
oh,
you know,
right, I forgot
it would have
about
been
that.
great if he sang, you know, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina or something.
Right. But the crazy version by Quirky, yeah, that was
Okay.
written on the wall.
Okay, you survived a hurricane. I see two. Is that your first
Yeah.
hurricane? I'm guessing
Right.
Yes, right?
Yeah, first hurricane. So, you know, it was not supposed to hit us. And then like at 5 o'clock that night, direct hit, airport was already shut down, no lights at the airport, can't fly out at night anyhow. So what do you do when you're getting directly hit by a hurricane in a village? You throw everything into the pool. I'm like,
Yes.
what? I had no
Yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
Anything that can fly goes into the pool.
Yeah. Beach
So I
chairs,
remember,
lounge chairs. Yeah.
yeah, anything that could fly, we just were heaving it into the pool. And then it was only category one, but I remember that K building in Luther, like it was cinder block and it was shaking, like in palm trees were hitting the ground, you know, sideways and coconuts flying like bullets. And it was nuts. And everything the next morning was just burnt. I mean, it was gone. It was green. It was lush because there's a crap load of water everywhere. You couldn't see the pool. And it was insane.
And you have these, a lot of Chief of Village do end of season awards, like best looking guy and
Yeah.
girl, best dress. So did Mike also do something like this?
Mike did do that. And to my shock, I won that season. I'm pretty sure. I think it was for the whole year that he did this in Eleuthera. Best legs in the village.
Oh, really? So,
Which was typically something that was given to a female GO, right?
So I guess your role as Madonna, you in the role of Madonna, kind of paved the way for this award, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I would, you know, my escape to get away would be to walk on that beach. So walking on the beach a mile or two every day. Yeah, I have fantastic legs looking back.
Well, that's good. You never want to win, if you're male or female, the shark award, right? You never want to
Right,
get that one, right?
exactly.
Okay, so I'll take the legs one. Okay. I must be doing a good job of hiding it. Okay.
Yes.
Do you get a dream sheet after your year with Mike and Eleuthera?
I
Because
did. Well,
I see you remain in the Bahamas.
yeah. So Linda, I remember Linda coming to visit, and she was asking me what I wanted to do next. And she said, "Have you ever considered
Well,
what do I want to do
she talked you out of your first three choices
next?"
again,
Right,
and
exactly.
oh, you don't want to go there. Come on, Chris.
She said, "Well, I had managed stores in the past and retail. So, why aren't you like, why haven't you mentioned boutique, chief of boutique? Why, that's like a natural for you, right?" And I hadn't really thought about it. I was enjoying where I was at that time, and I don't know if it was just I wasn't up for the responsibility of it, but I said, "Yes, of course. Of course I did it." She said, "Well, to be honest, I talked to Mike and he would love for you to do your stage for Chief Boutique." Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I was super,
And you go to
super honored.
Sandpiper for this stash, correct?
Well, yeah, here's there
Okay.
were there's always a story, right? So I go home for a little bit and I was supposed to go and I had a little break and I came back and they said, they told me where I was going. They're like, "You're going to Paris. The four of you that are doing your stage will be doing it in Paris." So the stage for boutique is a little different. It's not like sports where you learn what you're doing the entire time, and then you become chief of sports or you become the chief of whatever sailing. Boutique, you learn have to learn how to run a small business. So you really don't learn that part of boutique until you become the chief of boutique. Most villages back in the day didn't have computers, so they taught us all how to do the ledgers in hand, like by hand. So we had to do like figure out gross margins and everything by hand and on the computer. So it's a really big undertaking. It takes about 4 months to like really learn how to run a small operation, and that's what it is. I mean, it's a big money-making part of Club Med, and they train you how to run a small business. So we're supposed to go to Paris. There's a transportation strike in Paris. And they said, "Oh, well, we're going to have to split you up. Two of you are going somewhere else. And the other two of you are going to go to Sandpiper." Like, are you
Oh,
kidding? Like, are you kidding?
so here,
Of course, I love Sandpiper. Like, of
yes,
course, I'll go back.
you can't escape Florida, Chris, no matter
Right.
how hard you try. Okay. But you meet Nina Stein here, right? Nina Stein does your
Yes.
training, so
Yes,
there's a
exactly.
godsend, right? Like
Yeah.
the silver lining, if you will,
Well,
right?
okay. So I had the fifth part of the Colton family was Dawn Glazer. She was like their adopted daughter. And I was with her in Eleuthera for the year, and we were very, very close. And she heard that I was going to do my stage with her best friend, Nina Stein, in Sandpiper. Looking back, she was the absolute best person to train under and to learn how to run a small business. And we weren't best of friends. I mean, she was my boss, and we would, I remember, so fast forwarding, I get there, and can we fast forward?
Yes, we can. Yeah, let's go to
Can
the
we
next step.
fast forward? So
Yes.
I go back to Sandpiper years later, or a year and a half later. And the team has changed. It's a new chief of village, Howard. So I arrived like mid, they had probably been there a couple months, Howard and his team. And it's a big, Sandpiper is, it's always a big team. But for some reason, this team felt really, really, really big. So I'm there and it's Howard. Kevin Batt was there again. He must have been doing his stage for chief of village at that point, maybe. So I think Terry, what's his name? I forget Terry's last name, was the chief of sports. And there are a couple other people coming through as like interim chief of sports during that season, but it was hard. And I arrive and meet Nina, and again in the show I meet Graham, and Graham was a little reluctant to put me like in the shows because they knew like what I was really there for. I was really there to like do training with Nina, but I was still a part of the team. But I could also dance. I'd done three versions of Rhythm Nation and Chorus Line One by this point, so and can, and so I was still in all the shows. But after rehearsal, so then after like midnight rehearsal until one, Nina would drag us back to the boutique and make us, you know, learn about running a small business. So on top of, you think it was hard, like doing, you know, staying up and rehearsing, then I had to go back to a room and like become an accountant. No, we usually try to knock it out before the rehearsals. But yeah, so every night I was training for Chief of Boutique with Nina, which was fun.
Yeah, because we don't, no one, I never knew anyone who really did that job, right? We probably think, you probably thought, and like I thought, well, it can't be that hard. But like you say, the way you explain it now, yes, it is like running a small business. Yeah. You have quotas to meet. You have to keep geos like me that are on the blacklist out of your shop. You know, oh, I mean,
yeah, that was the easy
everything,
part.
Right? That was the easy part.
So you would get merchandise in from different countries. So a lot would come in from France, and of course it was in French. So there's that. So first I had to learn how to like read what I was getting in from French, and then, oh, there's some things from Mexico. So then it's in Spanish, and then I'd have to translate from Spanish into English. And then you'd have to translate from like French franc into English dollar or Mexican peso into English dollar. So it was super involved. So that's just like the stuff that Club Med provides, that product. So then there's all the other stuff like the suntan lotion and the things that we buy locally. So we'd go out. So Nina and Graham owned a car. They, you know, she'd go to Walmart and buy the stuff and bring it in. So that's part of the job as well in every village, is to go out and find things in the local market. So it was like, looking back, it really did teach me how to run a small business, which was a fantastic, fantastic thing to learn as a mid, 27-year-old kid.
Well, speaking of that operation, the boutique operation, you also have a story about Operation Howard. Now, this is where
I kind of
heard about Howard in 94, and
yes.
You were trying to get on his good side. Is that right?
Well,
yeah, so, as long as this story is appropriate, Mike.
Yes.
Okay.
Harold won't listen to me anyhow.
Yes, he will. He will.
I know.
Nice.
Okay. So Harold was always very nice to me, but I was coming from Mike Coltman, who was like like a father to me. And so Howard spoke to this as well. I was coming from Mike Coltman, who cherished and adored me and put me in every show and included me in absolutely everything. Then I come to back to Sandpiper, and it's Howard and it's Graham and Kevin Batt. And I wasn't a part of that crowd anymore, which felt a little odd to me, because I was used to being a part, really, like not in the inner circle, but you know what I mean? Like being like really, really involved. And so somebody had told me that Howard had this thing where he would go around and pick up cigarettes. And they're like, oh, if you just want to get on his good side, just go around and pick up cigarettes in front of him. And so that's what I did. he doesn't know this, but if there's a cigarette on the ground or not, I pretended, or I did pick it up.
Okay.
No, Howard was very, very nice to me. He was very nice. I wasn't there that long. It was only there.
Well, no,
like
it was four weeks, right? Yeah. Or yeah, sorry, 4 months.
It took about 4 months to really do all of that training with Nina.
And then your next one was, okay, Paradise Island was just part of the stage for 4 weeks though, right?
Right, exactly. So then we go off to Paradise Island, the four of us doing our stage in boutique, and we did it with the Chief of Sports, and there were like six guys. So I remember Carlos from Mexico was there. I want to say it was Fergie Krickfelder. It may even been Red. When did he do his Chief of Sports stage?
Yeah, it could have been around that time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just remember looking around Scott DePalma. I just remember looking at them thinking, oh gosh, these are a whole bunch of like future legends, because it was like a whole like masculine group with these, you know, four little boutique geos in Paradise Island, and they would go off and do their sports things. I have no idea what you do in Chief of Sports, but then we would go like to a room and like be accountants, and and then we would come together and do all the like fun leadership type things, you know, blind obstacle course and that kind of stuff. So it was very, very fun. Paradise Island, yeah, we were there for just a couple weeks. Then after that,
well, this is where, yeah, supposedly we met at Columbus. Now, yeah. why you or I can't remember. The other is kind of distressing me.
Right. Well, it was only for me. It was 2 weeks of an intern because I have pictures of it, but I don't have pictures of the GO2. I remember it being like a little weird season. Like there's an interim chief of village as well. Did Patrick come in, a brother or a relative?
Well, this would have been, at one point there was, you're right. Now it would have been more towards the fall. So it wouldn't have been around January because Patricia Moretti was there for quite a while, you know, for the whole winter of 96.
Yeah,
but yes, at one point there was a little changeover.
Yeah, so that's exactly when I was there.
Okay, and you liked Columbus, yes?
Oh, I loved it. Again, it was it was a magical, you know, it was a fairly new village at that point. It had only been open a couple seasons. But yeah, I've been back a few times to Columbus. It's still
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, my partner and I still do a village sometimes once in a while, although he refuses to do a Club Med village with anybody except for like Nina because of the stories. He just rolls his eyes.
Well, is he okay with you? Because I'm looking at the notes. I'm just reading the notes now you wrote for Snora Bay. Now, you dated the town dentist, and Mike came up with this clever nickname. But so is your partner okay with you saying this name or no? Because you don't have to say it.
I mean, my partner and I have been together 20 plus years now. So,
okay.
Yeah, for sure. So I go off to Sonora Bay as Mike's chief of boutique. I didn't start dating the dentist until like later in that season, though.
Okay, but yes, this is the town dentist.
This was the town dentist.
So okay, first of all, how do you meet the town dentist at a Club Med village? Like, did you have a cavity and you had to go in, or
I had
ever seen a dentist?
Okay. That's exactly what happened, Greg.
Okay.
I had a cavity and he filled it.
Okay. Oh boy. Right. All right. So how close to the village was the dentist? Like
just San Carlos. So just like the next town. Yeah. Very, very close. Recently divorced kids. So it was very odd. It wasn't odd. It was fantastic at the time. But you know, I just couldn't handle like ducking down in the car when he'd come and pick me up because he didn't want it. Family or friends.
Did he come visit you in the
resort? He used to come to the village in Sonora and visit all the time.
Yeah. And you also had an Olivia week there, correct?
Oh, we did
now,
have
now you
Olivia.
you say drama, but can you make this appropriate? I don't know what possible drama you could have.
So you know,
just leave out all the names of the
of course. So Olivia week. So we had quite a few random villages in that season. Olivia week was really fun because it was a vacation for half the sports team, right? Well, not necessarily.
Yes.
Well,
they really don't want them to be around, correct? I think.
Yes. They want them to do their job and then not be around socially.
Yes. Yes. Does that include you?
Well, so oddly enough, I did become really close with the Olivia people that were running it because I did some things for the boutique and I stayed in touch with them for years after. So they would, they were fine having me around, but I also took the advantage of it and like it had some downtime, but we had some geos that did not come back to join us after that Olivia week.
Got it. Understood.
Now, they found their purpose. Let's just put it that way.
What does haunted village mean? Was Sonora Bay haunted? Because I always heard that about Paradise Island.
I heard that about Paradise as well, that pool.
Well, what's so haunted about Sonora Bay?
I remember on several occasions, I remember Jeanette Qualtman coming to me and she's like, I just checked in my friend or somebody that had been a hostess with her in a previous village and she had to change rooms last night. Like, why? What? She's like, she got to her room and tried to go to bed and she kept feeling spirits, like something like pressuring her and like waking her up in the middle of the night. And so this would happen. It would generally happen like on the geo side. So it was by the tennis. Did you ever work that village, Greg?
No, I was there on vacation, but no, never worked there.
Yeah. So on the one side where they put the geos were the tennis courts and massive tennis courts. There's probably 10 at least tennis courts and the horse riding stables is down there. And the tennis courts were always buckling. Like they were never level and you couldn't use half of them because like something was happening under the foundation. And so that's where the Geo building was, or that's where most of the Geos were. And so the people would come in the middle of the night and like request a room change. And for some reason, we used to have to change rooms a lot there because if the village got full or whatever. I remember checking into one room or getting one room, and I couldn't get the air conditioning to warm up. It was freezing in there, and it would not, and you don't want to like turn the air conditioner down because it was like 120 out. So, but you couldn't get it like warmer in there. It's freezing and the lights wouldn't stop flickering. So whenever the lights were on, it was freezing. And then I also felt like weird. It was just weird presence that you would feel there once in a while. And you would hear this over and over with certain, and it was mostly on that side of where the tennis courts were. It's really interesting.
Never heard this before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, one question. So Sonora wound up being your last season, and you met some GMs, the Morris family. Would you care to expand on that?
Yes, of course. So I remember one GM meeting, Mike Coltman said, "No, boys, Shannon Morris is coming back, and I have to remind you, she's only 14 years old." So Shannon was beautiful, and they'd come to the village a few times before. I'd never met them. And so I said, well, how am I not to meet this family, right, if she's 14 and gorgeous? And they became fast and like some of my best friends to this day. I still keep in touch with the family. So I had a break after the Sonora season. I really just felt like I needed some time off because they had offered me an interim ski village in Switzerland. And I'm like, but what about my tan, right? So I said no.
Yes.
I said no. And stupid of me, right? I should have, looking back. I should have taken it. I said no. But the Morris family said, why don't you just come out and hang out in San Francisco for a few weeks? So that's what I did. In the meantime, I ended up getting a job with Tiffany & Company, and I was with them for 15 years. Great, great company, great experience. So when I was there, I knew there was a large geo population in San Francisco. Dawn actually had told me, she goes, you know, Nina Stein is in San Francisco, right? And literally like the next day, I'm walking down the street and I saw that walk. I saw those boots. I know that walk. Like Nina Stein. So Nina and I reconnect and we become fast and best friends from that point on. And we still are. And then like a couple days later, I'm living in Mill Valley. I'm in line at Starbucks and somebody's Chris Boutique. It's Andy Reid from Excursions, who lived just down the street from me in Mill Valley. So it was Nina Stein, Andy Reid, Sandy Cohen, who worked in reception at Sandpiper, and Laura Saylor lived down the street from us. So we had this huge like geo contingent in San Francisco, not huge, you know, there's like six of us, that we'd always get together and watch Sex and the City back in the day, which was really fun and fantastic. And I'm still very, very close to Nina and her husband. And I see them every 6 months in New York. And yes, so you know that I love you and appreciate you in my life. And I'm thankful to have met you. Yes.
That is sweet. Well, speaking of other people you liked working with, let's do some call out. So,
oh, for sure. Like,
did you enjoy working with anyone in Sandpiper your first season?
That first season, yeah, I don't remember a ton of people that first season. There was Rosie and Jay were together at that point. Rosie Howell and Jay, Rochelle, my partner Val was there. Jeff Bleakman, who was in several villages that I did, was the chief of circus at that point. Paul Langus and Eric, of course, were that first season in Sandpiper. My second seasons.
Yes, Eleuthera.
Yeah, second seasons, all through Eleuthera. Anita, like I said, Dawn Glazer. Dawn was like my mother. She was like Jeanette Coltman was the mother and Dawn was like the stepmother. You know, I'd try to sneak out to go to Ronnie's or something and at 1 o'clock after rehearsal and she'd hear my door open, "Christopher, where are you going?" So yes, Dawn was fantastic. Like my mother that season. Awesome.
And who else?
So then Sonora. So there's pretty big. So We lived in San Francisco for 13 years, and we had to move to Orange County. And there's also a pretty big Orange County geo contingent down that way. So Josanne and Raphael Bronstein. So I worked with Raphael back in Eleuthera, but never had met Josanne. And we're still pretty close to this day. Danielle Horseback, Carlos. I haven't talked to Carlos in a long time. And Deborah, who was used to do line dancing in Sonora, and I are still, oddly enough, really close. Yeah, I have some fantastic clubmen, people that I still stay in touch with, and yeah, even though I'm not on Facebook.
Yeah, and I'm looking over your. I'm taking issue with one of your favorite crazy signs here, because you
Yeah.
do like, you've got to move it, YMCA. But for some reason, I see Agadoo on this list,
Oh no,
and
so I may,
okay. Well, no.
excuse me.
How about Agadon't, Chris? Okay.
Agadon't. I love
Why is
that.
Agadoo? You do like Agadoo?
No, maybe I wrote it wrong,
Okay. No, you
or
can't write
hang on.
Agadoo wrong. You
You
spelled
said
it
I liked
perfectly, Chris.
YMCA. No, can't
No,
stand
you.
it.
Oh, really? You don't?
And
You,
the
okay.
Howard one that he made us do, you got to move it. I no, can't. I that's one that I just
Okay, so you like
never get.
don't blame it on the sun, blame it on the
Don't
book. You
Blame It on the
like that one.
Sunshine, still
Yeah.
Break a Move
Okay.
too. And then of course, all the shows that I think we did, Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation, at least I know five different versions of that. I still have dreams and nightmares of which
Okay.
season am I in? And I had a really
Yeah.
fast costume change for Chorus Line One. And so I have dreams all the time that I'm not going to make my costume change, or I forgot a hat or something. So
Isn't it
anytime I
crazy how the clubman dreams, almost everyone I interview, there's some kind of
think, I don't know.
stress or anxiety involved in a dream, right? Like
Yeah,
you're getting ready for something,
absolutely.
something's going wrong. It's weird, right? I still have
Yeah.
them to this day. Do you still have the dreams?
Oh, absolutely. But it's
Okay.
they usually revolve around, like I said, it's like I'm right in the middle of Janet Jackson, and then I can't remember which season it is, and yeah.
Okay. Yeah, in which choreographer changed
Yes,
the because
exactly.
that's a complicated. I remember that dance from my first. That's a complicated one, right? It's very
Yeah,
fast.
it was fun. Yeah, thinking back
And
on it, I should have never left. I should have stayed. I knew I was a lifer, but I only lasted like 3+ years. And I still, when I'm out and about and I find great people, great young people, I would send them to Dawn, or I'd send them, because Dawn and Josanne do recruiting, and I send them names. But I sent Josanne something, somebody recently that I met, and I think, yeah, that we are like the best people to know who they should be hiring. And yeah, I mean, what company in the world like invites their old employees back on
yeah.
vacation? I mean,
And
it's
well,
fantastic. And right.
speaking of, you did a Turks vacation 12 years ago, but you it just says geo surprise. So what happened? Did you run into someone that
Oh
you
yeah,
work with?
so my partner didn't tell me. We went with a couple friends, and he didn't tell me that he invited Nina. So he had never met Nina. So Nina showed up and was there in Turks for the entire week. You know who else was, oddly enough, there, and I never connected it until just now, was Kevin Batt. I wonder if Nina, if you're lit, did you invite Kevin Batt, Nina, that week? Yeah, so Kevin was still working for the club. He was like something sports, right? But yeah, Kevin was there as well that week, oddly enough, working.
That's a nice reunion, huh?
Yeah, it was. And so I did the very first Club Med reunion in Sandpiper.
Oh, okay, but wait, I see what you wrote, but I don't know if you want to share that story.
Why?
Because,
Did I
well,
end
because
up in the
you wound,
hospital?
yes, because you wound up in the hospital.
Do we
I
have time?
well, we're kind of sure, but no, we don't have to talk about this. Let's just, is it safe to say you had a good time, Chris?
I did.
Okay,
I did
good.
end up in the ER, and I scared Chris
Okay.
my. Oh,
Oh,
I can't believe I didn't mention this person. So Christy Beaton was probably my best friend in my entire Club Med career, and still is to this day, a
Christy
very
Beaton,
close
was she like chief of mini club or
friend.
was that
She
her
was chief
job?
of mini club. She was on her way to be chief of village.
Yeah, I met her in Phuket, Thailand, I think in
Yeah.
2001. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
All
So
right, cool.
we were very close. We were like brother and sister. But yes, I did give her a scare because we shared a room the first Club Med reunion. When she woke up and I wasn't there, and there was blood on the walls because I
Oh
was
boy.
in the ER. I know.
Okay. Yikes. Okay. Well, you know what? They say it's not a reunion until you break something, right? And there's
Exactly.
blood on the wall, right? Okay.
That's true.
Now, I'm going to ask you, I hope this is not a dumb question, but
No, no,
I
no.
don't ask it that often, but I'm just curious, like, of all the seasons you've done,
Yeah.
was there one that was magical, if you use that word, or were they all just special
Yeah,
in
it was that
their own
first
way?
season. It was that first season going to Eleuthera after Club Med and realizing like what the vision was for this company. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, the geo team that Mike put together that first Eleuthera season. I remember Mike coming into the boutique and they would get ratings somehow, and I never really heard of this before in this time, probably because most Chiba villages were embarrassed and didn't want to show it. But I remember Mike coming in just happy as could be. We were like number three in the entire company for like ratings that season. I mean, it was just like one of those seasons that work. You know, there are tons of couples that were got married. You know, people are still together that day from that season, or this day from that season. We had a Geo wedding that season. It was, yeah, it was super magical that first Club Med Eleuthera 94, 95 season for sure.
Okay, Chris, we're nearing the end of the hour, but you have so many stories. I know it's hard to fit in 1 hour, but is there one that we haven't got to yet you'd like to say? I do see something about Atlantis and Playa. What does that mean?
Yes, so we were in Eleuthera and the phone in the boutique rang, and I remember it vividly because that phone never rang. It was very loud and it was always Paris that would be calling it, because who would call the boutique phone in the Bahamas? I pick it up and it had to be Linda. And she said, you know, there's Club Med Atlantis and they're asking for some gay geos to go to Playa Blanca. Would you be interested in going? And I thought about it for a minute. And my
And you
friends
said, what? And you said, what makes you think I'm gay? No, you said, no, you didn't say
What makes you
that.
think
Okay. How dare you? And secondly, how dare you? Okay.
right? I
Okay.
said no, Greg. I said
Okay. This
no.
is mind-boggling to me because Playa is a singles resort. Atlantis is probably about 600 gay men. Is the math right on this so far?
Yes, so do that
Okay.
math. So the
Oh,
reason they're
geez.
asking me to go is because they didn't have very many gay men, or they're requesting them to go.
True, but unlike Olivia, they didn't request that the male geos stay in their room at the end of, like, during the night,
Exactly.
right? Okay,
Yeah.
but
I would
okay,
have
so
ended up in the
were you in couple with someone? That's why you said no? Is
And
this
so
what
that is why I was having a
happened?
lot of fun in family villages. And
Okay.
that's all we should say. No, I was having
Okay,
a
got
ton of
it.
fun where I was, and I couldn't
Okay.
imagine. I'm like, I would have needed a liver transplant and I would have ended up in the ER.
Well, I think this is very mature of you to, like, you saw the writing on the wall and you went, you know what? Okay.
No,
I may survive this.
I was probably in love with somebody, or somebody had just arrived that made me change my
Okay.
mind. But yeah, I
Yeah,
said no.
let's
I
go with
did.
that.
Right, exactly. I
You're
did. One of my friends went, and I'm like, well, will you at least bring me back a t-shirt? So there's a picture of me, I say, where I'm
Oh,
wearing a
really? Okay.
t-shirt. But I didn't go, which I'm
Okay.
dying because I always wanted. So that was probably on my wish list, would be to do Playa. But yeah,
Yeah,
that.
I never got to work a week with Atlantis or Olivia or even Sober Week. Like, I missed all
Oh
those weeks, you know?
gosh, can we tell that story? So this is a short, fun one.
Oh, Sober Week?
Sober Week. So
Yeah.
they did a rent-a-village in Sonora, and Mike comes back in the back of office laughing one morning. He's like, "We forgot about the poached pears." We left the poached
What does that mean?
because the pears are soaked in alcohol, and we left them
Oh.
on the buffet.
Oh
Like,
no,
we
that's
had a run on the poached pears. For all of a sudden, we couldn't figure out why we ran through a week's supply of
I've
poached
never
pears.
seen poached pears in any buffet, but you
You
guys have the
haven't?
oh
Oh,
no. Like, I didn't know
yeah.
what you were talking about when you
It
said
was like
poached
that
pears.
weird buffet, like the fruit, you
Okay.
know, because who goes out to that fruit buffet at the end? Yeah, we
And
had poached pears and we ran through
exactly.
the entire allotment of them and we had them out for 2 days and they were gone.
Okay, so sober week was more like sober day, sober 1 day or 2 days. Like, how deep into this week did this poached pear incident
Oh no,
happen?
it was within days that they figured out that they
Oh,
had run
okay.
out of poached pears.
Are they soaked in brandy or something? Like, is that what?
They're soaked in alcohol. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay.
Very funny. Yes. Very
there goes
funny.
Sober Week. Okay.
Mike Goldman story.
Well, Chris, my God, it was so fun to laugh with you. I wish, you know, you're one of the geos. I wish we had done seasons together, you know, like,
oh, I know.
I'm glad we had this time to talk, but I so wish, you know, we had worked together or at least remembered each other from Columbus.
Right. Okay. I say that about several geos that I meet at the reunions. Like I met Rebecca in Cancun, and the same thing.
Yes.
Everybody, how long did you guys know each other? Like 3 days. Like, you two would have been like a horrible wreck together.
Well, I think we would have got like a house on fire, you know?
Right. Like two trash cans in the middle of the night. It's been fun. Thank you for taking me down memory lane.
Thank you. And I know a lot of people, because you're not on Facebook anymore, there's a lot of people that, you know, that missed you or be able to hear your voice again, you know? And that's one compliment I like to hear is when people discover the podcast and they say, oh my God, it was so good to hear Joe Moore's voice again, you know?
Right. And we, like at the time, we worked with these people. We didn't know where they came from or what their story really was. We were just like in each other's lives and brothers and sisters for a really fun part of our lives. And I never knew Howard's story. And it's very interesting that our stories are very similar with Mike Coltman. I never knew that.
Yeah, and yet everyone's story, how they got to Clement is always different. It's always unique, right?
Very true.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us here, Chris. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. I'll see you at the next reunion.
Okay. We'll leave our livers at the door, okay? And we'll have the ER staff on standby for us. Okay?
I'm having a sober week.
Okay.
Just this week.
I'll tell the economist to put away the poached pears. So
exactly.
Have that happen again. That's my promise to you. All right, everyone. That was the one and only Chris Dingman. And we will be back next week with another new installment, My First Season. Here's where we say goodbye to everyone and thank him for listening. Chris, take it away. It's all yours.
Thank you, Greg. It's been fantastic talking to you.
Have a good day. All right, everyone. Bye.